Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13 down to verse 20 is our passage for today. Sister Veronica is going to come forward and read us the Word of God. So please follow along in your Bible. It's Matthew 16, 13 to 20. Are you going to come up? Okay.
When Jesus came into the region of Caesar Philip, he asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am? The Son of Man am." So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of God, the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon, Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades should not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ.
Amen. Thank you. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word. And Lord, what a mighty text this is. And so we ask you, Lord God, that your Spirit would abide with us and open up our understanding that we might receive from you the things that are needful for us for today and for our lives. And we pray in Christ's name, amen. Amen. As I said, this is something of a momentous text. And we've come to a bend in the road, if you like. You know how when you're going on a road trip, especially if you're traveling through Pennsylvania somewhere, going through the mountains, and you kind of come around a big turn in the road, and you know, a whole new stretch of the landscape opens up in front of you that you didn't see before. That's kind of how the second half of Matthew chapter 16 is. We're going to turn a big corner here. This is a hinge on which the whole earthly ministry of Jesus Christ turns. Now we are going to start to catch a glimpse of where this road is headed. And we're going to see off in the distance at first, it'll get closer and closer, and we'll see the destination that none of the companions of Christ had anticipated. Hey, the fact is the journey was going here all along, but only the driver really knew where we were going. Nobody in the car could see it. Well, now we're going to start to see it. If we look behind us, look in the rearview mirror, so to speak, you know, what have we seen? We have seen the rise of a man, apparently a man of God, who spoke like no one ever spoke, a man in whom works a power, either the power of God, or if it's not God, it's the power of a very shrewd and clever devil. Many people have received dramatic healings at his hands. In dozens of synagogues and also out in the open spaces, people have listened to him talk about the scriptures, discuss the kingdom of God, and call people to repentance. He's certainly a great man. Okay, Jesus is at the peak, if you like, of his popularity. By all appearances, it's a man of destiny. He is someone to be reckoned with. We see that he's caused headaches for the rabbis, and so he's definitely the center of a lot of public controversy. John the Baptist said at one point, "He must increase," and so he has. He has most certainly increased. Great multitudes, on the order of thousands sometimes, followed him wherever he has gone. Something quite critical just happened, though, in our last passage, which now sets up this one. He was challenged by the Pharisees and Sadducees basically to lay his cards on the table and prove his divine credentials, and he declined to do that. He walked away from an opportunity to shut their mouths by doing something spectacular. And you can kind of imagine how they're, you know, talking amongst themselves as he leaves. You know, imagine what the Pharisees say. Now, okay, you look, we're all here. Prove yourself. Do something. Show us what you can do. And he says, well, no sign is going to be given to this adulterous and sinful generation. You know what they're going to say? Well, you see, I told you, everybody. Okay, a likely story, right? He won't because he can't. Right? He can't call down a sign from God because really he's in league with the devil. So when you put him right to it, he can't do anything. So you see, everybody, he's a deceiver and a fraud. So, I mean, this discussion here with his disciples that we have in this text centers on this very subject. Who are you? With everything that we have witnessed, okay, all that he has taught and spoken and has done, all the healings, the sermons, the conflict with the religious leaders, what are people saying? What are people saying? The setting here, you see that they've once again withdrawn to something of a remote place. This Caesarea Philippi in verse 13 is in the far north. They're more or less in Gentile territory, and they're alone. There are no crowds right now pressing in on him for his attention. There are no hostile parties there either to disrupt things and challenge him and so on. It's just him and them, and we're going to get some things out in the open. What is the end result of all of these months of activity? It's possibly as much as 2 years have passed in the Jewish territories. Who do men say that I am now that they've seen all that they've seen, heard all that they've heard? They've had time to observe and discuss and digest. You see the apostles report the various suggestions there in 14. Notice, first of all, the one thing that people are not saying, they're not saying, is he's the Messiah. Okay, he's somebody. Messiah, no. Righteous man, yes. Wonder worker. Servant of God, okay, yes. But king, conqueror, warrior, deliverer, judge of the Gentiles, and so on, okay. No, that's just, the people are not thinking this. He doesn't fit the part. I want you to look at Psalm number 2, if you'll find that in your Bible, Psalm 2. Psalm 2 is a song or a hymn or a poem about how the anointed one of God, okay, anointed, which is what Messiah means, the anointed one, someone from David's line is going to arise and will subjugate the nations, and they will resist him in vain. And he'll strike them down, and he's going to rule over them, and then the nations will come, and they will tremblingly serve him. Okay, this is what Psalm 2 is. It's a messianic psalm. It says, why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? Okay, they have plans against the Lord, but they're in vain. They'll come to nothing. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against Jehovah, right, the Lord, God the Father, and against his anointed, okay, that's the word Messiah, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. Okay, we don't want them to rule over us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Okay, I have done it even though you have tried to frustrate my plans. And now the words of the Messiah. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. And you shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel, okay, like a clay pot. Now therefore be wise, O kings, and be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve Jehovah the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. That's who Messiah is and is foretold to be. This man, well, he's a prophet. He's a preacher of righteousness, a repentance, like John was, okay, like John the Baptist. He's a sort of itinerant, homeless, holy man, like Elijah was. And, you know, God granted Elijah the power to do a few miracles. We've heard Elijah is coming. Maybe this is him. He, like Jeremiah did, he calls out hypocrites and speaks truth to power. Talks about, warns about judgment and so on. Causes them headaches like Jeremiah did. But conqueror, victor, okay, this is not the type of man we make him out to be. They tried once to make him king, and he escaped. You know, he slipped away. Whenever there's a big sort of popular movement to raise him up, he shuns the people's enthusiasm. So this is, you know, the prophet said the government will be upon his shoulder. And of the increase of his government and peace, there'll be no end. He'll sit on David's throne to rule it from that time forth and forever. This is not who this is. Maybe he's a forerunner of such a man. But did the Pharisees ever suggest that he could be the Christ? No. Did he himself ever put himself forward as a candidate for Messiah? No. It seems like he doesn't even have the full support of his own disciples. It's not too long ago, some of them left, turned back and followed him no more because, well, you say hard things that people can't accept. And so he hasn't unified the nation of Israel. He's actually split them, divided them. There's controversy. There's questioning of authority. There's differences of opinion. Disappointed ambitions. Who is this man? So Jesus and his disciples have taken this journey across the lake. It's actually the last time in Matthew you see them cross the lake. If you recall, kind of Jesus standing apart, if you like, standing apart by himself, sort of pondering the past, pondering the future. The disciples maybe discussing among themselves about this apparently missed opportunity to reveal something great about himself. Why didn't he do it? Does that mean something? And then they land, and then it's a journey of many hours, maybe a couple of days, to get up to Caesarea Philippi, for everybody to sort of mull it over, chew on it all, and come to terms with it. And so now he puts the question to them point blank. Answer me straight up. Who do you say that I am? All right, congregation, you and I, we have to face the same question, and we have to answer it, each one of us as an individual. It's the most momentous, critical question you will ever answer, because the same case prevails today. Men say this, men say that about Jesus of Nazareth, but your life and destiny, your soul, hangs on your answer to that question. And ultimately, what does it really matter what other opinions are? It doesn't matter to you, really. What does your father think? What does your English teacher think? What does the pastor think? What does your neighbor think? What do the so-called experts say? Those things will not be the deciding factor for you. What do you say about Jesus? Now, Peter's answer, it's historic. It's critical. It's essential. You see that his answer, a bold and clear declaration, his answer, you see that it pleased the Lord Jesus. And boy, did it ever. I can't imagine how it must have lifted the Lord's spirits to hear Peter answer in such a clear and bold way. So we need to consider just two points. We need to consider the substance of his confession. And how did he arrive at that point? Okay? You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Okay, Peter confesses Jesus to be the long-awaited chosen one of God. Yes, the heir of David. Yes, the hope of Israel. Yes, the one that Psalm 2 is about, to whom God says, you are my son. the king that I will set upon Mount Zion into reign and glory. You are the one anointed with the Spirit of God to preach good news to the poor, to preach liberty to the captives, to proclaim the day of the Lord's favor and the day of his vengeance. You are he. Okay, now look, there's things about Jesus that Peter cannot yet understand. As we will shortly see in just a verse or two, he did not know that the Messiah had to first suffer and then enter his glory. He did not know about the grave and the rising from the dead. He could not know that the Son of God, as he calls him, is actually God the Son. Okay, these are things that Peter is going to learn in the future as events unfold and with the coming of the Holy Spirit. But he is certain that Jesus, whom he has walked with, talked with, stepped out of the boat for, that he is much more than a prophet. He is much more than a rabbi. He speaks with God's authority. He commands the creation itself and it obeys. He dismisses demons with a word. He brings life. God is with him in a way that has never before been seen. Truly, you are the Son of God. As you know, as far as all of it goes, I don't know all the details. I don't know what the future holds. A lot of that's over my head. But this I know, truly you are the promised one, the Savior of the world. He doesn't say, I think this. He doesn't say, I believe this. He doesn't say, I'm pretty sure about this. He doesn't say, you know, well, why ask me? I'm just a fisherman, right? You know, the Pharisees have rejected you. Why is my opinion matter? Boldly and clearly, you are the Messiah. You are the Christ, the Anointed One. It's not my opinion. I know it with all my heart, as sure as I'm standing here. Okay, let men say this, let men say that. They just don't know what I know. You are the one and only. I say to you, my friends, it will not do to acknowledge Jesus with less than this. Do you understand? It will not do to assign him a spot among the prophets, even a prominent spot, as the Muslims do. Well, he's a prophet, a great prophet. Okay, it's not sufficient. It will not suffice to appreciate his ethical teaching as being virtuous and excellent, which certainly it is. All right, do you admire the Golden Rule? Well, the Golden Rule is nothing apart from the one who gave it, is it? Plus, you've broken the Golden Rule, so now what? It will not do to hang a painting of Jesus in your living room or to make him an icon on the wall or to have a statue of him. It won't do to think of him with nostalgia from the Bible lessons from your youth or the man who's on the DVDs, the religious DVDs. It will not do to have respect for him or respect for the Judeo-Christian ethic or the values. It won't do either to offer up to God some general church labors and service and deeds of kindness. Okay, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, will not be received on account of any of those things. You must make the good confession. You must make the good confession. The scripture says it is with the mouth that confession is made unto salvation. You must confess Christ with your mouth. That means acclaim and know and confidently declare. You confess with your mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord of all, the Son of the true and living God. Jesus Christ is Lord of all, the Son of the true and living God. Amen. Who is he? He is Alpha and Omega. Yeah. He is the first. He is the last. He is the master of creation. He is the Holy Lamb of God who laid down his life for the flock, gave his life, his flesh for the life of the world. Yeah. He is the blessed and only potentate, God's right-hand man who is coming from heaven to judge the living and the dead, and that includes you. Amen. The Almighty, the Bible says, has set a day, appointed a day, which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man that he has designated, and that designated anointed one, appointed one, is Christ Jesus, the Messiah. God has given the whole world advance notice by raising him up from the dead. He will shatter the nations that set themselves against God and that imagine that they can overthrow his sovereign power. He is the son of the psalm. Kiss the son, lest his wrath be kindled against you and you be consumed. This same Jesus that we always talk about, meek and mild Jesus, right? Weak and dying Jesus, poor persecuted Jesus. He lives. He sits on the throne in heaven. And in him alone there is deliverance from death and hell. There is no salvation to be found anywhere else. What do you say about him? What men say? He's a wise man. He's a holy man. He's a great ethical teacher, a role model, a lover of the poor. He's a philosopher. Kids, what do you say? A cartoon character? Grown-ups, what do you say? Who is he? God has made this Jesus who was crucified Lord and Christ. He is enthroned in heaven awaiting the day when God will make his enemies his footstool and he will give him the glorious kingdom that will last forever. Only with an answer like that can you please the Lord Jesus. Blessed are you, Simon Barjona. Otherwise, I'll give it to you straight, it is impossible to please him. Impossible. Without that faith, it is impossible to please God. Who is Christ Jesus? Everything, every single thing boils down to this question. Politics, social issues, whatever it is that people seem to want to argue with you about, it's all secondary to this, okay? Whether it's you yourself or a person that you want to dialogue with, you're engaging somebody in conversation, a person must affirm and know the truth of Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus, the Christ, Jesus, the coming King, God's heir. There's no other hope. It's come to me, and all the promises of God are yea and amen to you. You refuse me, and all there is weeping and desolation and everlasting sorrow. There it is. Now, if you know it, and you know that you know, then God has given you sufficient ground for an immovable assurance, Christ will save you. He will raise you up on the last day. He will glorify you. That is your assurance, solid as a rock. However, too many people, and many people in churches, and so I won't exempt anyone, you have to know for yourself. Too many people, even in churches, it's not such a major question. Okay? It's possible that you're saying, all in all, what does it really matter what the specifics are about Jesus as long as you're a good person and you don't do harm? Okay? There's good Muslims, there's good Buddhists, there's good atheists, you know, Catholic, Orthodox, Jew, Protestant, what does it all matter? Who cares? As long as you're moral and, you know, kind to animals and you're a good friend and you're a good citizen, if that is your attitude, hey, if that is what you believe in your heart, I tell you, you are ignorant of God. Ignorant. You have either ignored what he has said it clearly, or you have rejected it. Okay, it can't be anything else. God has spoken clearly about salvation and eternal life. He has testified to his son that in his son alone is eternal life. Peter, by his bold and clear declaration about Jesus, gains the approval and the reward of his master. Bold and clear, pleases the Lord Jesus Christ. So how does a man arrive at that point? Okay, how does Peter come to this conviction where and arrive at this point where he makes the good confession and gains the commendation of his master? It's in verse 17. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for what? Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. My Father in heaven has done it. The illumination of the heart, okay, the opening of the mind regarding Jesus Christ our Savior is the gift of God. It is a gift from God. God opens the mind to understand. God grants security and assurance and certainty. God gives a person the ability to make the connection. And those of you here in this room who are saved, and you know what I'm talking about. Okay? It is very much like the sunrise, isn't it? It's like the dawn. Now I clearly see something that I did not see before. The pieces were there, yes. But until today, they never quite fell into place. The ingredients were there. You know, I had heard about him, I learned about him, made some observations, heard some sermons. I went to Sunday school all the time I was little, saw some things on the History Channel. But all until now, it was just sort of inert information. It was just knowledge. But then God the Father turned his face upon me in favor and lit the fire from my slumber. He quickened me. He quickened me. And now I see, now I believe and know Jesus is the Holy One of God. He's my rock, my salvation, my master, my friend, my advocate, my precious treasure. Flesh and blood, you see, human teachers can only do so much. Understand that about your parents, your pastor, whoever it might be. They can prepare lessons. They can lecture you. They can instruct you about morality. They can make you memorize your verses. You can put together a good stirring emotional service, a musical service, I mean. They can challenge you. They can inform you. The one thing they cannot do is spark the thing into life. Understand it in blood. That spark must come from the Father in heaven. He is the only one who grants understanding, who turns on the lights, and makes it comprehensible to the limited human mind. Okay, the proverb says, the Lord gives wisdom. The Lord gives it. Okay, blessed are you, Simon. It's my Father who revealed this to you. Blessed is the man indeed who receives that favor from the Almighty. So this is the reason why the Pharisees and the Sadducees, with all the available evidence and all the testimony that they've heard about wonders being worked, they have failed to come. Okay? And it's the same reason why people can be in a Christian environment year after year after year and still not experience the new birth. You must be born from above. You must be. And those of you who are saved, like I said, you can testify. It was a work of God. The conviction of my heart, the assurance that Christ's sacrifice, his atonement, his sufficiency is for me, my understanding, finally, at long last, of the good news, God has done that. God has been so very kind to me. Now, since that is the case, Christian, since it has to be God who gives life to the spiritually dead and sight to the spiritually blind, we need to constantly be appealing to God to let his Spirit move in our hearts, our outreaches, our conversations, our ministries. He has to be present in our lesson times, in our efforts to explain the gospel to people. And so for you, as a disciple and as a missionary, if you please, it's a matter of persistent, continual prayer, because we need the Spirit of God to energize and to make our efforts effective at all. Pray, we must pray the Father that he would show this kind of favor not only to the individuals here, but to the men, women, and children in our lives, that he would awaken and quicken them, that he would use the words that we prepare and the circumstances of their lives to turn the lights on, okay, to awaken them and bring them to the foot of the cross where Christ bled and died for them, and bring them to the empty tomb where the victory over death and hell is forever proclaimed. Blessed are you, Simon. You have been taught by God himself. So this is the great dividing line. There are those whose hearts are illuminated by God to receive and know the truth, and there are those who abide in darkness. Okay, that's it. If you have not been born again, or if you have even a shred of a doubt, you understand that God calls you to come to him. God calls you. You understand that it is his will that all should be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. He says he will answer the request of a hungry heart. Okay? This was in the Sermon on the Mount. Whoever seeks will find. Everyone who asks will receive. Everyone who knocks will have the door open to him. Simon Peter, he heard thee follow me long time ago. And he dropped everything and he followed. Great start, Simon Peter. And he listened and he watched and he wondered. And very importantly, he and these others kept on going when many turned back. This is a hard teaching, Master. This is a hard life you've called us to travel along this road. But where else are we going to go? We know that you have the words of eternal life. And we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. If you have even a shred of a doubt about yourself, continue on asking, seeking, knocking. Okay? Put your trust in him. God the Father will work in your heart. You see, it's something that God does. He will work in your heart. He will bring you to see the full truth. And the prophecy will be fulfilled in you that says they will all be taught by God. Are you convinced that Jesus Christ is Lord of all? Do you know it in your heart? And will you affirm it with your voice? Not that, you know, you don't have to know all the ins and outs of all doctrine. Okay, Peter didn't know everything. But do you know this much? Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. He is the chosen one, the coming one. He is King. If not, okay, if, like I said, if you even have a little doubt, don't go away. Please don't. Let yourself be taught by God. I tell you that there is salvation to be found nowhere else, only in the name of Jesus. Amen. You just be patient, pay attention, watch, and pray. You consider the evidence. Ask God to convince you. Okay? We want to be convinced. If Jesus is the only way, in fact, don't you want to know it? We want to know it. Someday you will be required to answer this very same question. Who do you say that I am? And you're going to want to be able to answer loud and clear. Well, let's pray. Lord Jesus, for my part, I myself, and I know there are many others here who affirm you are the Savior, the Son of God who was to come into the world. You are the Most High and Holy. You are my King. You're my Lord and Master. You're my friend and brother. And I worship you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for your wonderful word. I thank you for your spirit that dwells in my heart through faith. And Lord, I thank you for brothers and sisters here who can say the very same thing with utmost confidence, with all their heart, that they love you, they worship you, they belong to you, and they know, Lord, you will never let them perish, never let them slip away out of your hand. May we be all of that same mind. All, every last one of us. Father, you know every heart. You know where there is pride. You know where there is pretense. You know where there is true faith. And so, Father, I ask, Lord God, that you would purify hearts, that you would encourage and strengthen, and Lord God, that you would glorify yourself in our midst and wherever our influence should reach. May the name of Jesus always, always be treasured and magnified by each and every heart here in this room. If there is someone that needs to be born again, someone who has only till now just pretended or has had doubts, Lord, you know that heart. You know if there is someone who needs to confess with their mouth the Savior Jesus. And I pray, Lord God, that you would lay a conviction upon that heart, that the time is short, the day is at hand. You must repent and turn to Christ Jesus. He will save you. He will save you. Blessed be your name forever, Heavenly Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We pray in that precious name of Christ. Amen.